This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, for this introduction, and welcome to the War Room. And today we've got a very special subject, which in a way is close to my heart, and it's all about the Catholic Church. Now, Kenneth Copeland and Tony Palmer, they are the two, I'm not sure what to call them, whether to call them culprits or something, but both of them, apparently from the evangelical sector, have tried their best to unite the charismatic movement back with Rome. Now, what have you got to think about this? It's actually quite horrifying. You know, there is this organization who's been persecuting Christians for a good 1,000 years, possibly, you know, even up to about 1,500 years. And now, you know, the blood of the saints is on at the hands of this organization. And then somebody comes along and he says, oh, it's all over, you know, the Reformation is over because there's some sort of strange idea where they signed some sort of agreement and, you know, that we are all justified by grace and kind of works the consequence, you know, by the grace that's been given to us, and the others say works are going to be there as well, and so on. So they've got some sort of agreement. signed by Lutherans and the Catholic Church, and that means the I apologize for the coughing. That means that the Reformation is over. Now, my friends, it's not over. It's not over by a long shot, I tell you that. And true unity, and this is a call for unity within the Church, and, you know, we have to be unified, and that's very, very important, and therefore we have to come together underneath the auspices of the Pope. Now, I tend to disagree with that. We don't have to be together under the auspices of the Pope. We have to be together under the headship of Christ. And that is the only unity we can get. I can have unity with somebody from the Catholic Church if they have broken through and broken free, should I say, from their doctrine. And they belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is their Lord. At that point, I can have a unity with anybody within the Catholic Church, but I cannot have unity with an institution that has been killing my brothers and sisters throughout the centuries. And this is reality. This is real stuff. Yeah. So always bear this in mind. Obviously, the Church would say they didn't kill anybody because they were just handing them over to the state, and the state was doing the execution business. But that is just a technicality, I think. Okay, I've got a talk by Tony Palmer, who is dead now. He died in a motorbike accident a few years ago. The talk is from 2014, and there's going to be Tony Palmer, and the commentator is a guy called Doug Batchelor, sort of an apologetic kind of guy, very interesting points he's bringing across. And obviously the other big person, the other voice you will hear is Kenneth Copeland, who endorses the whole thing. And since then, you know, since 2014, he's been visiting the Pope. There were conferences which were headed by Kenneth Copeland, and they were all with the Catholic clergy present as well, and they were all celebrating being a big, happy family. Still, massive problems. I'm a church history buff, and it makes my stomach churn, I tell you that. Anyway, just stay tuned and listen to Dr. Batchelor. This is the War Room. Yeah? We are looking at the knowledge, at strongholds, spiritual strongholds, raising themselves up against the knowledge of God. And this is one of those things. Okay, stay tuned here at BPN Radio, at Seismic Radio.
We won't be able to show the whole video. We will post it at the Amazing Facts website if you'd like to view it in its entirety. But I'd like to go through and look at it and highlight some points that I want to bring to your attention. Why don't we go ahead and we'll roll that now.
I believe that God has brought me here to this year's Ministers' Conference in the spirit of Elijah. Let me explain. If you look carefully, the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist to turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers.
Well, let's pause the tape right there. Now, in a moment, we're going to be hearing a personal message from Pope Francis. But to me, even more interesting is the question about who is this Bishop Tony Palmer? A very dashing individual that seems to have a personal relationship with the Pope and is being sent as an envoy of the Pope. He sort of is a mediator in that he's not technically a Catholic. He's an Anglican. He has his own ministry that is specifically focused on bringing unity to the churches. And he's not just going to this conference of the charismatics, but he's making the rounds in every way he can to bring the different churches together. He does a masterful job as framing himself as the prophet Elijah with a message to bring the children back to the fathers and the fathers to the children. A message of unity, playing down doctrinal differences. You can listen and see what you think.
And to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, to prepare the way for the Lord. And we know that prophecy always has a double fulfillment. And we know that Elijah will come before the second coming as well. And I've understood that the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of reconciliation, to return hearts to each other. This is very important. We know that the first 1,000 years, there was one church. It was called the Catholic Church. And the word Catholic means universal. It doesn't mean Roman. Catholic means, if you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. You're a Catholic.
Don't want to make too much out of it, because he's right. The word Catholic does technically mean universal. But what you're seeing here is, in very careful, deliberate increments, the distinctions between Catholics and Protestants are being broken down. Let's go ahead and keep playing.
Take back, redeem what belongs to you. We are Catholics. And then there was the split at the end of the first millennium. We had the Orthodox, the East and West, two churches. Then 500 years later, we have Luther and his protest. Three churches in 1,500 years. Three denominations, not three churches. And then, from Luther's protest onwards, 33,000 new denominations.
You see what's happening here, friends, is he's calling it Luther's protest. Instead of it being the Protestant movement or the Protestant Reformation, it's sort of being stated as it's really the rebellion or the protest of one disgruntled priest. But this was really a movement based upon a lot of theological differences. Let's go ahead and play.
I've come to understand that diversity is divine. It's division that's diabolic.
I don't know if you caught that, friends, but that's very significant and troubling. Diversity is wonderful, it's divine. But division is diabolical. See, that's just patently not true. Not all division is diabolical. The Bible tells us that the Word of God divides. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said, I have not come to send peace, but to send a sword. Paul tells us that we must come out and be separate. And when the apostles in their day took a stand for the truth, there was a division that took place between themselves and the big church. And so in the last days, when we take a stand for the truth, we're going to be called not only divisive, we're going to be called diabolical.
It's true what you were saying about the glory. I agree with you. Of course, it's true. The glory that the Father had, he gave to Jesus. The glory was the presence of God. What is the charismatic renewal? It's when we experience the presence of God. And he said, and I give them the glory, pragmatic reason, so that they may be one. It's the glory that glues us together, not the doctrines.
He said, it's the glory that glues us together, not the doctrines. Well, I don't know if I mentioned earlier that Bishop Tony Palmer is also a charismatic. He speaks in tongues. He supports that. And the charismatic movement is a very interesting movement, in that it really is a form of spiritualism that has come into the Christian church. Matter of fact, more emphasis is put on the spirit than on doctrine. You know, one more thing I thought I should insert at this point, as we're talking about who is this Tony Palmer. He told the crowd, when my wife saw that she could be a Catholic and a charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted in the Catholic Church. See, she said she wanted to reconnect her roots with the Catholic culture, so she did. So there's no mistaking what his goal is. He said his wife believed she could be all of these things and reconnect to the Catholic culture. This is going to be the goal, that everybody comes together in the Christian world within or recognizing the Catholic culture.
It's the glory. If you accept that Christ is living in me and the presence of God is in me and the presence of God is in you, that's all we need. Because God will sort out all our doctrines when we get upstairs.
Don't worry about doctrine here. We'll sort out all the doctrines when we get to heaven. Let's just love each other here. But doctrine is very important. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, the people were amazed at his doctrine. So what are we going to do? Eliminate the Sermon on the Mount because we're just supposed to love each other? We'll sort out the doctrines later. This is going to be the mantra that you're going to hear over and over again. Let's play.
Therefore, Christian unity is the basis of our credibility, because Jesus said until day one, they will not believe. The world will not believe, as they should, until we are one. Division destroys our credibility. It is fear that keeps us separated, because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Because most of your fear is based on propaganda.
So what we're really hearing here is that the Protestant Reformation teachings are propaganda that incites fear. And so it's bad. Don't worry about this propaganda. Okay, keep going.
Now, why is it historic? Because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. Luther believed that we were saved by grace through faith alone. Amen.
Little correction. It wasn't just Luther that believed this. It was tens of thousands of dedicated Christians that wanted to get back to the Bible. Huss believed it, Wycliffe believed it, Tyndale believed it, all the great reformers believed it. It wasn't just Luther.
But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were saved by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, they wrote this together. Because in the Protestant Church, we had a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. And because we didn't even look for fruit, it wasn't the issue, because it wasn't necessary for salvation. And no, it's not. But it's a good judge if you are saved. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together we, Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works.
Well, this may sound like it was just the protest of Luther. Luther didn't protest against one thing. He nailed 95 different points of protest on the doors of the Wittenberg Church. This is addressing one of the issues. It's not the only issue. And you'll notice that in the wording, in the language that's used in this agreement, it's very convoluted and cagey, because the Catholics were looking for a wording where they would not need to renounce what they formally believed or say there was anything wrong with their doctrines. And so don't have time to go into that, but it's not exactly what it appears on the surface.
This brought an end to the protest of Luther. Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over. Is yours? In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. Later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement. But as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelical that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace through faith to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed.
Let's pause. So he's really throwing down the gauntlet. He's saying Lutherans have signed an agreement that the protest is over, and the Methodists signed this agreement. Now we're looking for the evangelicals and the Pentecostals to sign this agreement. And so we can all be one again. The Protestant Reformation, not necessary. We're all in harmony now.
There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years. And I get a bit cheeky here because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends. If there is no more protest, how can there be a Protestant church?
I think it's easy for us to see where this is going. The distinction between Protestants and Catholics is being chipped away at. This is a movement towards a one-world religion. This is exactly what prophecy says has to happen before Jesus comes back. The world's being shaken right now. There'll only be two groups when Christ comes back. One group will have the seal of God. The other group will have the mark of the beast. Obviously, if there are 33,000 different Christian denominations, something has to happen to polarize these two groups into those one of those two camps. This is where you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled right now, friends. These are the kind of statements, these are the kinds of appeals that will be made to bring everybody together into one unified body where we downplay doctrine, downplay the Bible.
Maybe we now we're all Catholics again. But we are reformed. We are Catholic in the universal sense. We are not protesting the doctrine of salvation by the Catholic Church anymore. We now preach the same gospel.
Do we preach the same gospel? Unless there's been some radical changes since 1999 that I don't know about, just to give you a few examples of some of the distinctive differences that brought about the Protestant Reformation, the Bible teaches we're not supposed to bow down to statues. That's like one of the Ten Commandments. And the law of God is part of the gospel. Roman Catholic Church says we should bow down to statues. The Bible teaches that all have sinned except Jesus. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Mary was sinless. The Bible says that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. The Roman Catholic Church says that Mary is a co-mediator. The Bible teaches that Christ offered his sacrifice once on the cross for all, Hebrews 7:27. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the priest sacrifices Christ on the altar whenever he conducts Mass. The Bible teaches that all Christians are saints and priests, Ephesians 1:1. The Roman Catholic Church says that saints and priests are a special caste within the Christian community. The Bible teaches that all Christians should know that they have eternal life, 1 John 5:13. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that all Christians cannot and should not know that they have eternal life. The Bible teaches that we should call no religious leader father. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that we may call priests and the Pope father. And Bishop Tony Palmer is also called Father Tony. The Bible teaches not to pray in vain repetition. Yet the Roman Catholic Church says you can say Hail Mary and Our Father in vain repetition. The Bible teaches to confess your sins to God only, that only God can forgive sins. Roman Catholic Church says you must confess your sins to the priest. The Bible teaches before baptism, a person should be taught the gospel and the commandments of Christ, believe and repent. The Roman Catholic Church teaches little infants can be baptized, or if they die before, they'll be consigned to hell. The teachings regarding purgatory, limbo, prayers to the dead are nowhere in Scripture, but they are relics of paganism. Now, there's great differences theologically between what the Protestants died for. They shed their blood for these principles of truth and what the Catholic and some of the Orthodox churches believe. And are we supposed to just say that truth doesn't matter anymore? Let's just love each other and that's how we're going to do evangelism? Evangelism must be based on truth. I can start preaching now, but we'll go back to the video.
We now preach you are saved by grace through faith. Alone, the word alone was the argument for 500 years. The word alone is there. You can read it yourself. The protest is over. The protest is over. So let me pray, and then we'll start the video. I believe we will begin to see more and more people called out to go into the world and work among the churches in the spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Ministries of reconciliation. We need to throw as much resources and energy into the ministry of reconciliation as we do to the ministry of evangelization. Or are we building walls without foundations? I challenge you to find a bridge builder and back him or her. And I'd like to pray this prayer. And if you agree, you can say amen. This was a dying man's prayer. And when you know you're about to die, you certainly pray the most important prayers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Glory to the Father. Amen.
Okay, so part of that prayer of Jesus is, of course, that there would be oneness, that we could be united. But it also says in John chapter 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What it's going to be that will unite us is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit is the truth of God. The teachings, yes, those are the words. Again, John 16, same book, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. It's through the truth that we will have unity. It is through the doctrines. That's what brings people together. As we come closer together in the theology of the Bible, the doctrines of truth, we come closer together in Christ, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. It's not as we come closer together in a feeling, a charisma, or a feeling of glory when we're baptized with the gift of tongues. That's not what brings the church together. That's not what real unity is. Very little reference to the Word of God and truth that sets us free in this. Now I think he's going to be playing his segment from the Pope.
Dear brothers and sisters, excuse me, because I speak in Italian, but I am not speaking English. But I will speak no Italian, no English, but carefully.
Unfortunately, we need to stop here, and we are coming to the end of our program. We're going to carry on tomorrow here in the War Room, looking at this particular aspect of the false unity, the ecumenical movement, as it is realized and pushed forward by Kenneth Copeland and the Pope himself. I find this very shocking. If you've got any idea of church history and you've got any idea of what's been going on, and also about Catholicism and the doctrines which are enshrined in Catholicism, there isn't any chance of unity theologically. The spiritual unity, obviously, there. I know, and I've met, I've been in the system there. I've met pastors, I've met priests who I know. They knew Jesus Christ, and I'm 100% convinced. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm right, but in my heart, I'm convinced that I will see them in heaven. And there are some amazing people within this this institution, but the institution on its own is very corrupt, it's very rotten. There's a lot of wrong stuff in there. There's a lot of bad doctrine in there, which ultimately is going to get you into hell. And we need to realize this. We need to realize this, that this is the case. And really, we should separate. Paul says, you know, if somebody comes along and preaches a different gospel to the one I've preached to you, cursed be he. And we've got a whole institution that is preaching a different gospel and has been persecuting those who are preaching the real gospel. And unity at any price? No, thanks. You know, it's not necessary. It's not what we are called upon. On the contrary, the Bible calls us to separate ourselves from them. May I remind you of the verse, come out of her? You know, those who are called by his name, come out of her. Come out of Babylon. And again, it's, you know, a big question of what is Babylon. By the way, the whole talk, and I totally agree with Doug Batchelor, the whole talk, you know, by Tony Palmer and Kenneth Copeland was just about this one little doctrine, you know, this about justification. But when you look at the Reformation, it was a lot more. It wasn't just about purgatory, about indulgences. So you pay some money to the priest and your sins are forgiven because they've got the power to forgive them to you. And so they make a quick buck in forgiving your sins. No, that is the problem we've had with, you know, at the time of Martin Luther, but it goes a lot deeper than that. We've got the infallibility of the Pope in the proclamation of a dogma, which is a big problem. We've got the whole concept of purgatory, which has never been addressed in this whole thing. We've got Mariology, you know, the whole worship of Mary and the saints, which has not been addressed. And the thing goes on and on and on and on. And there's so much unbiblical doctrine within this institution that it is impossible to look for unity. Now, again, as I mentioned before, unity with an individual is not a problem. I can pray. And as I said, I know Catholics who don't subscribe to all this stuff and who have got like a fairly healthy outlook on who Jesus Christ is and who God is. And who I'm sure are born again Christians, and you can have fellowship with those guys, but it's a different type of fellowship. It's a unity of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit of God is in the other guy, and based on that, you can have true, genuine unity and Christian love amongst one another. And that is very, very important. Okay, I want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow when we carry on with Doug Batchelor and his talk, or the next time the program runs. If you want to do it straight away, you can go to the website, christianwarroom.com. And how much time have we got? We've got about a minute left. christianwarroom.com. And the talk is going to be talk number 75 is this one. The next one is going to be 76. So you can just scroll down when you go to the audio section and you can listen to the following talk. So make the most of it. And as I mentioned before, the opinions expressed here on in the war room, in the Christian war room, are not necessarily the opinions of the management of BPN Radio. It's very important to state this here, because some of the stuff may be highly contentious and you may be quite upset about it. But my friend, focus on Jesus, focus on the Word of God, focus on the Bible. That is what is important. Do not strive for unity with churches who do not proclaim the gospel the way Paul the apostle proclaimed it in the Bible, because he says, even if an angel of light came and did this, cursed be he. So that's a very, very clear command, very, very clear direction, and we need to stick with this. Okay, Lord, I just pray, Father, for understanding, and I pray open our eyes and let us see you and let us give us instructions on what to do in our relationship with big institutions, with big churches where they are going wrong. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.